Welcome to Torah Simecha with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Rachel Baum, and today we will be learning Parshas Bahar. So Parshas Bahar speaks mainly about two topics, which within those topics fall many mitzvos, halachos, and details, and those are the commandments of Shemitah and Yovel. Shemitah, the cycle in the land of Eretz Yisrael, where we are commanded to let the land lie fallow every 7 years, and Yovel, the commandment to count 7 cycles of Shemitah and observe the 50th year, the Yovel year, as an added year of not working the fields, as well as releasing people and property from bondage. The Parsha also speaks about the prohibition of Ona'ah, harming another Jew with words or taking advantage of another Jew in business or otherwise, the laws concerning redeeming bought land for an Ani, a poor person, and the Parsha ends off with the halachos of interest and how to treat and not to treat a Jewish slave. Let's focus on the two primary topics of this Parsha, Shemitah and Yovel, in order to better understand their deeper meaning and to tap into their messages, especially because for the majority of us, Shemitah does not apply on a very practical level. So the Psukim in our Parsha tell us, Hashem tells Moshe, Daber el b'nei Yisrael, speak to the Jewish nation, Va'amarta aleihem, and you should say to them, Ki tavo'u el ha'aretz asher ani nosin lochem, when you come to the land that I have given you, V'shavsa ha'aretz Shabbos la'Hashem, the land itself shall observe a Shabbos for Hashem. Shemitah is referred to as a Shabbos la'Hashem. Rashi points out that it's only Shemitah and Shabbos itself that are referred to as such. Like the pasuk in Sefer Shemot says, "V'yom hashvi'i Shabbos la'Hashem Elokecha, lo sa'aseh kol melacha." The 7th day should be a Shabbos for Hashem your God, and you should not do any work. Not even the Yomim Tovim or Yom Kippur, which is called Shabbos Shabbason, is ever referred to as a day of rest for Hashem. It is only Shabbos and Shemitah. In fact, in Parshas Mishpatim, where the Torah also tells us about the commandment of Shemitah, the Psukim actually say, V'sheish shanim tizra es artzecha, v'asafta es tivuasa, for 6 years you should plant your land and you should gather its produce, v'hashvi es tishmetena unitashta, and on the 7th year you should let it rest and lie fallow. And immediately following these Psukim, the Pasuk tells us, Sheish es yamim ta'asa ma'asecha, uvayom hashvi'i tishbos. So again we see the juxtaposition, the connection between Shemitah and Shabbos. Both are referred to as Shabbos la'Hashem, and they come next to each other in the Psukim in Parshas Mishpatim. Aside from the very topical connection of counting 6 days and resting on the 7th, and counting 6 years and resting on the 7th, there's obviously a deeper connection between Shemitah and Shabbos that both are explicitly dedicated for Hashem. Let's discuss what that is. Like we know, Shabbos is a testimony, Shabbos is a sign that Hashem created the world. By working for 6 days and resting on the 7th, we acknowledge and internalize that there is indeed a God, and He created the world in 6 days and rested on the 7th. Similarly, the Meshech Chochmah explains, Shemitah itself also reminds us that there is a God and that He created the world. For 6 years, we work the land, taking ownership of it and literally reaping the fruits of our labor. And it's during the 7th year we take a pause, and we do not work the land, reminding ourselves that the land didn't suddenly appear before us, but rather there is a God, and He created the world, and He has given us this land. In fact, the Meshech Chochmah explains a beautiful remez, a hint to Shemitah, found within the Psukim of Bria Sa'olam, the creation of the world. It's in day 3 and day 6 of creation that the Psukim repeat the phrase, Ki Tov, that Hashem saw that it was good. Says the Meshech Chochmah, this is a remez. This refers to the 3rd and 6th year of the Shemitah cycle, during which a person is obligated to give Maaser Oni, a tenth of their money, to charity for the poor. It's also interesting to note that on day 3, it's the plants, it's the trees, it's the growth that was created, and on day 6, it was humankind, it was Adam HaRishon. Perhaps we can connect this to the obligation of man, meaning day 6, to dedicate a part of his own plants, his produce, meaning day 3, to his fellow man every 3 years in preparation for the final, the 7th year of the Shemitah cycle. However, aside from this idea that both Shabbos and Shemitah remind us about God's existence, perhaps we can look at Shabbos, Shemitah, and ultimately Yovel as a buildup of sorts. Whereas Shabbos is a weekly reminder that there is a God and He created the world, Shemitah and Yovel take us to the now what steps that come after. So let's explain. Like we said, Shabbos is a weekly reminder that there is a God and that He indeed created the world. Shemitah reminds us that since there is a God who created the world, and he created us as well, we are here in this world to serve him. How does Shemitah achieve this goal? For 6 years, we work the land, spending our time mired in the physical, planting, watering, harvesting. And it's important that we do this because we're physical people living in a physical world. We need it to survive. But every 7 years, we stop and remind ourselves why we're even bothering to work, why we are so involved in the physical. What is it all for? The Ibn Ezra explains in Sefer Devarim, where the Torah commands us about the commandment of Hakel, the communal Torah reading that was read during the Shemitah year, that the reason Hakel was read during the Shemitah year was that it was a time when we took a year off from cultivating our land in order to remind ourselves and dedicate ourselves to Torah study, for that's what really matters, and that is our spiritual growth. So says the Ibn Ezra, in the beginning of the Shemitah year, we start off with the communal reading of the Torah in order to spur us into the mindset of Torah learning and spiritual growth. As an aside, the Ibn Ezra differs from the Gemara and most commentaries who state that Hakel was read at the end of the Shemitah year. He says it was read in the beginning of the Shemitah year. But like the Ibn Ezra explains, we start off with the weekly Shabbos, constantly reminding us that there is a Hashem who created the world. And then we move on to Shemitah, where once every 7 years, we remind ourselves that as much as we are mired in the physical, the ultimate purpose, the real purpose for which we are created, is to grow closer to God. And we accomplish this by removing ourselves from the physical world of agriculture and dedicating a year to Torah study and spiritual development. This brings us to the year of Yovel. What is Yovel all about? Firstly, it's interesting to note that Yovel is different from Shabbos and Shemitah, since it's not a cycle of every 7 days or years, but rather it's an add-on, it's a bonus. After you count 7 cycles of 7 years, that's when we add the Yovel as the 50th year. This is, of course, similar to the way the Torah was given. After counting 7 weeks of 7 days, it was on the 50th day that we stood at Har Sinai and accepted the Torah. We'll explain this connection in a moment. But in describing the commandment of Yovel, the verses say, "V'kidashtem eshnas hachamishim shana ukrasem dror ba'aretz v'chol yoshveha Yovel hi." And then the following verse says, "Yovel hi shnas hachamishim shana tihielachem." And then the next pasuk tells us, "Ki Yovel hi kodesh tihielachem in hasada tochlu estivuasa." It's 3 verses, and in these 3 verses, the pesukim mention the term Yovel 3 different times. So first of all, the word Yovel itself is unique, and the commentaries differ on how to translate it. Rashi says it refers to the shofar blown on the Yom Kippur of each Yovel year, as a Yovel is the horn of a ram. Ramban says it means free, since it was during the Yovel year that land that was bought is released back to its original owner, and the slaves were freed. The Abarbanel, along the lines of the Ramban's translation of the word Yovel, to come from the root word of freeing, explains the repetition of the word Yovel to signify 3 things that are liberated or freed during the Yovel year. 1, we do not cultivate the land, it is free from being worked on. 2, all slaves go free. And 3, all land bought within the last 49 years reverts to its original owner. The Abarbanel correlates these 3 items that are liberated during the Yovel year to the giving of the Torah at Har Sinai. And he explains, just as at the giving of the Torah, the Jews were liberated from being slaves in Egypt, similarly, during the Yovel year, all slaves go free. Just like at the giving of the Torah, the Jews were not required to cultivate their land in order to survive, similarly, during the Yovel year, they let their land lie fallow as well. And just like at the giving of the Torah, Jews did not own any land, similarly, during the Yovel year, all land reverts to its original owners at this time. Based on this Abarbanel and what we've explained about Shabbos and Shemitah, I think we can suggest that inherent in the redeeming of working the land, slaves, and land itself during the Yovel year, there lies a fundamental lesson that we should keep in mind about what it means to be a Torah Jew. As people, there are really 3 different areas that make us feel successful in life. We have our own personal successes, the things in life that we view as us having put in the effort and then seeing the results of our own hard work, whether that's a career, a certain skill, building a family. There's the physical wealth that we amass. There's the houses we own, the cars we drive, the clothing we wear. And then there's also our stature, how we feel vis-a-vis other people. Am I respected? Do I feel needed? Yovel is a time when we recognize that all of these things, our successes in life, our physical wealth, or our stature or status in this world, really don't belong to us at all. We let our fields lie fallow. We don't put in the physical effort and celebrate the successes of our efforts. Then we liberate our land. All that real estate that we owned, all that physical things that we owned, the properties we boasted of, are no longer ours. Then we free our slaves. We are equals now among them. We have no stature. So again, it's Shabbos, Shemitah, and that leads us to Yovel. After a weekly reminder of Shabbos, that there's a God who created the world, and then the seven-year reminder that we are obligated to serve God in this world through spiritual pursuits, it's only after seven cycles of Shemitah that we can really internalize the lesson that since there is a God, and since we are created in this world to serve Him, everything that we have in this world, be it the successes that we count on as having come through our own efforts, any money or possessions that we own, any stature or status that we have obtained, all of it is not in our control. It is ultimately up to Hashem, who lends it to us. And of course, He gives it to us for the ultimate purpose of serving Him. Thank you for learning with the OU Women's Initiative.